I'd like to read verse 18 through 29 for the portion of Genesis for the day. We are going through the book of Genesis on Sunday mornings, have been since September of last year, and we're in this ninth chapter this morning. Chapter 9, verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. I'm kind of glad this morning that it's overcast, that it's a little cloudy, a little rainy, a little dreary, because it would be hard to preach this message anytime, but it would be a little bit more difficult to preach this message on a bright, sunny summer day. And you'll understand that better by and by. You'll understand that better as we go through this passage of Scripture. This is not a bright and cheery passage of Scripture. This is not a bright and cheery record from the life of this man we've been looking at for now many weeks, Noah. In chapter 6, we read that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9, Noah was a just man, a justified man, a righteous man. He was perfect. He was complete in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Today's passage of Scripture is kind of like the complete opposite of that record concerning Noah. This is after the flood. And the sons of Noah are spoken of in verse 18 and 19, and through them all of the earth will be replenished with mankind. And in the process of time, we're told in verse number 20 that Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. He began to be a farmer. He began to get into agriculture. Not necessarily as a career, but as a necessity. You grew your own food. You raised your own food. You provided for your family this way and maybe others if you did well. But you had to take care of yourself in these more primitive times, especially after the flood. He began to be a husband in the process of time. He began to be a farmer and he planted a vineyard. He planted grapes, raised grapes. And he, Noah, drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. He drank of the wine, ended up drunk, and ended up naked within his own tent, within his own home. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. This is not a stellar record in the life of the great man called Noah. He drank. He eventually drank to the point of being drunk. He drank and got out of his senses and out of his knowing what he was doing and where he was, to the place where he ends up naked within his own tent. And his son Ham saw him in this state, saw him in this condition. Many people try to make this more than it is. Many people try to say that the wording here means it was more than just that he saw his father's nakedness, but I don't agree with that. In this passage of Scripture, Ham does not make his father naked, which would be involved in it being something more involved. Noah made himself naked. Noah got drunk, lost control of his senses and his thought and his mind, and he ends up lying there within the tent without any clothes on. And his son comes in, Ham comes in and sees him. And what happens here is not that he gets a glimpse of his father and then turns away, which would not have created any problem. But the word indicates that he looked upon his father. He stared upon his father and he saw intently his father's nakedness. And he goes out probably jokingly and laughingly. And he goes out and he tells Shem and Japheth, his brothers. And they take a garment, they lay upon their shoulders, and they walk backwards, and they cover up the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backwards. And what does it say? They saw not. They saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. That's the way alcohol still works today. You can drink to excess, drink to where you lose your senses, drink to the point of passing out, drink to the point where you wake up and wonder what happened. Wake up and wonder what you did. Wake up and wonder what people saw you do. And Noah wakes up and he knows. He knows the condition he got himself into, and he knows what his son saw. I think some people try to make it more than just that he saw his father's nakedness because they don't want to believe that nakedness is a sin. But nakedness is a sin. God made nakedness a sin. When man fell into sin, God clothed Adam and Eve. And from that moment on, he declares nakedness is a shame. Man is intended by Almighty God to be clothed, to stay clothed, and to always wear clothes. For many, many reasons. But people don't like that. I was considering a message I've told you about before, still on my desk, still in the pile. I don't know if I'll ever get to it, but it's on the Ten Commandments. And it's the list of 10 commandments that years ago, it's a list of things God's people didn't do. You know what? In 2024, the list is just about gone. God's people don't see anything wrong with anything. God's people don't see anything wrong with doing anything. God's people don't see anything wrong with all the things that would have been on that list and preached and practiced in churches years ago. God's people don't see anything wrong with those things. Being naked is one of the things on that list that in 2024, people don't see anything wrong with it. Nakedness is everywhere. Everywhere you look, people are taking their clothes off. Everywhere you look, people are dressing indecently. Everywhere you look, man is presenting his body shamefully, without any regret, without any sorrow. And yet the Bible still teaches what Noah does here is wrong. He drinks. He's drunk. He's uncovered. His son, Ham, sees him in this state. It's a shameful thing. You look at what is acceptable on TV. Whatever kind of TV you have, cable, satellite, stream, or whatever. You look at what is plainly offered up on television today. Nudity is everywhere, and man doesn't have a problem with it. And God's people, for the most part, are sitting and watching that filth. They're drinking, and they're dancing, and they're carousing, and they're taking their clothes off all during the week, and they come into church on Sunday morning expecting God to bless. It doesn't work that way. You don't find that anywhere in Scripture. Everywhere in Scripture where you see God's people doing these things, you see consequences by God brought upon them. People have no problem with the taking off of clothes, the wearing of little to no clothes. And there's no shame. There's no shyness. There's no bashfulness. There's no urgency to be modestly attired. The day and time in which we live, anything goes. But we see in Noah how quickly man sins, how quickly man disobeys, how quickly man can get caught up by his senses and his lusts and his passions. How long has it been since the flood? How long has it been since God says, you can come off now? How long has it been since he and his sons and his family went off to replenish? And how long has it been since God gave them the promises to be fruitful and multiply? Well, it's in the same chapter. Chapter 9 begins with God blessing Noah and his sons and saying unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Noah, this great man of God, this godly man, will regret the rest of his life this mistake. I believe he recovers himself. I believe he goes on to be a godly man, but he will spend 350 years remembering that great fall of his and what his son saw. Christians can sin, and Christians can be recovered from their sins. I believe, and I have believed throughout all of my ministry, that when a person falls into sin, as long as there's breath, they can be recovered. They can be salvaged. They can be saved. They can be brought back. Even in the ministry, when God's men fail, I believe they can be recovered. I believe they can be restored. I believe they can be brought back and shouldn't be thrown away with the bathwater. But when you get into a situation like Noah, you need to understand you're going to live with that the rest of your days. And it doesn't matter what you did before, what they're going to remember is the fall. It really doesn't matter what you do afterwards, though I'm saying you can be recovered. What are people going to remember? When it comes time and he's 950 years old and there's anybody still around remembering the life of Noah, what's the first thing that's going to pop into their head? Most likely their sin. That's just the way the flesh works. Just the way this pitiful mind of ours works. In Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk chapter 2, we don't get to this book very often, and here today we're going to get there twice. I tried to pay attention to see how Brother Derek pronounced it. Wanted to make sure the way I pronounced it was going to be the same. Chapter 2, verse number 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also. Why? That thou mayest look on their nakedness. That's what happened to Noah. And here we find in Scripture a warning of woe to anybody who practices that mentality. Woe, judgment, wrath. To somebody who gives their neighbor something to drink with the idea of getting them drunk, with the idea of getting them naked. Woe. Woe, judgment. We read in Genesis chapter 19. This mentality. Genesis 19, verse 32. Lot and his daughters have been brought out of Sodom and Gomorrah. God has showed mercy and spared them, delivered them. And the one daughter says to the other daughter in verse number 32 of Genesis 19, "Come, let us make our father drink wine. And we will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father." She comes up with this brilliant idea of let's get him drunk, that we might preserve to our father a seed. They weren't thinking about their father. They were thinking about themselves. They wanted a child. They wanted a seed. Let's get our father drunk and lie with him and bring forth a seed, bring forth children. The one daughter does it and it works. And she says to the second daughter, "Let's do it again." And you go in. Let's get him to drink. Let's get him drunk. Let's get him to where he loses all control. That's the method in the madness of the world. That's the method in the madness of Satan. I hope it's not the method in the madness of any that are here today. The Bible says you're not wise to drink. Faith Baptist Church is still an old-fashioned Baptist church, and we still believe drinking is wrong. We do not believe in social drinking. And in joining this church, you vow and you enter into a covenant that you won't drink. By the grace of God, as long as I'm alive and as long as I'm here and have anything to say about it, that's not going anywhere. Whoever drinks is not wise. That's what the scriptures teach. Irregardless of what this church believes, irregardless of what I preach, irregardless of what the covenant might say, the Bible say it's a fool that is deceived by drinking. Drinking leads to drunkenness. And what is drunkenness? Drunkenness is a loss of control. You will say things and you will do things and you will go places that you will not remember. Or if you do, when you sober up, you will remember with great regret. Drinking leads to drunkenness, which leads to all manner of sin. In Noah's time, it ended up with his son seeing him naked. In Lot's day, and Lot is said to be a just man, a saved man. What a mess he made of his life. It ended up with him getting drunk and sleeping with his own daughters. What a shameful, shameful picture. In the book of Romans, chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 12 through 14. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us take off the works of darkness, the garments of the world, the garments of the ways of the world, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Let me just kind of connect the thoughts here. Let us not walk in rioting and drunkenness. Let us not walk in chambering and wantonness. Let us not walk in strife and in envying. But let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let us walk honestly, not rioting in drunkenness. Chambering means promiscuity. Wantonness means in sensuality. Let us not walk a promiscuous walk. Let us not walk a walk of sensuality. Sensuality speaks of lusts. And lusts are to be subdued. Lusts are to be controlled. Lusts are not to be fed. Lusts are not to be encouraged. We're not to do anything that encourages the raging of lust within us. We're to do everything in our power to bring those things under control, or they will destroy us. Sin always destroys. The lust and the passions of the flesh always destroy. The drinking and the drunkenness and the reveling and the rioting, these are all things that feed the lust of the flesh. Feed the lust of the flesh. And lust is not exclusively, but principally, lust has to do with what we see, what we look at. That's why the world dresses so shamefully. They want to be lusted after. That's why the world dresses so revealingly. They want to stir up the passions of the opposite sex, sometimes of the same sex, as we know in the day and time in which we're living. people see nothing wrong with these things that used to be saw as so wrong. But they not only don't see these things as wrong anymore, they find it their mission in life to make everybody else participate in their sin. Come, let's get together and do all of this. Shame! Shame on us. We're not to feed the lusts. When God created man and woman, Adam and Eve, they had sinless bodies. They were created in a state of innocence. They were created in a state of innocence, and they were in the perfect environment. And God created the man and the woman to have desire one for the other. It was natural. But once man sinned, all that became corrupted. They were no longer in sinful bodies. They were no longer in a state of innocence. They were no longer in the perfect environment. The passions of the flesh outside of that perfect creation were set on fire of hell. And they're still burning today. They're still burning today. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, the world doesn't think that way anymore, but the Bible still says marriage is honorable. Marriage is a good thing. Marriage is a godly thing. Marriage is a holy thing. And waiting until you're married is still God's way. The world says do whatever you want. The world says just be safe, just be careful. God still says marriage is honorable. Keep yourself undefiled until that time. Marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. God will judge. Ephesians 5:5 says similarly, God judges whoremongers, adulterers, those who let their lusts and their passions run away with them. Noah began to be a husbandman and planted a vineyard, and he drank wine and was drunken. He was uncovered in his tent and exposed within his tent in his own dwelling place. That tells you how prevalent clothes are supposed to be. Even in your own home, you're supposed to be properly dressed, modestly attired. In his own tent, he was uncovered. And Ham saw his father, saw that nakedness, made light of it, and told his brethren. Noah lived with that the rest of his life. I believe he remembered it probably every day of his life. He planted, he drank, he was drunk, he was naked. And he gave into the flesh. We look at this passage of Scripture, and I've got to say this as it is most natural to say it. Be careful not to let the sin of your family trigger sin within you. Look at what Noah did because of his misbehavior there with that wine. He brought his son into that sin equation. And it brought consequences. It's interesting. Noah does not pronounce a judgment upon Ham. He pronounces a judgment upon Ham's son, Canaan. So the consequences of this act of sin jump generations. And we need to be careful to know what's right and what's wrong, know how God would have us to live, trust the Lord and lean upon the Lord, seek the leadership and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We need to try everything in our power to abstain and stay away from these temptations. And when our families, our own families, are involved in this, we have to be careful not to let it trigger sin within us. If you're a person living in a godly family, and maybe like Canaan, the son of Ham, you're not saved. But you're being brought up in a godly family, or you have that record of having been brought up in a godly family. Don't play around with that faith. Don't treat it lightly. Don't cast it off. Don't try to go on and move beyond it. Make it your own. Make it your own. It is obvious that Ham had issues with his father, and there was something deficient in him, which would cause us, and we think he was a saved man, of course, but which would cause us to question whether or not he was. Noah lived 350 years after the flood. For 350 years, he had to carry the burden of that and the effect of that upon his family, his grandchildren, and the generations that would follow. We see all of this began with the weakness that is brought about by alcohol. And I've said this recently. Nothing about the consumption of alcohol, nothing concerning the effects of the consumption of alcohol, nothing regarding the consequences of drinking and drunkenness, none of it, not a single part of the package is in decline. It's constantly increasing. Man can't get enough alcohol. They can't get enough beer. They can't get enough wine. They can't get enough whiskey. They can't get enough. It's got to be sold everywhere. Man can't do anything that alcohol isn't involved with or brought into the picture. So I'd like to just say to those who have enough of God's hand upon you to hear it, remember the evil of alcohol. Used to be in the millions. I'm sure now it's the billions. But the money that is spent dealing with the effect of alcohol is mind-boggling. Billions of dollars every year go to treat and deal with the effects of alcohol, alcoholism, and the drinking and the consumption of alcohol. When will man learn? When will man remember the evil that comes from alcohol. You can sit there and say, I would never. But alcohol gets into the picture, and you'd be surprised just how quick you do and what you end up regretting. Noah didn't plan this. Noah didn't sit out one day and say, now this is what I'm going to do. He became a farmer. He became a raiser of the grapes and vineyards. He became a maker of wine. He became a consumer of wine. He became drunk by it. He became naked in his tent by it and lived forever the consequences of that and the curse upon his family going ahead would never be altered. It's nothing to play with. He planted, he drank, he drunk. He was naked in his tent. I'm going to say this for what it's worth. And irregardless of how mad some want to get. Gentlemen, it is the father's responsibility. It is the man of the house's responsibility to have these things in their proper place in their home. If you're the head of your house, you are chiefly accountable. Rather not, you teach these things to your children. It is a great burden and responsibility to raise children in any age, more so today than ever before. Sins and the do-nots are everywhere, and society is saying do. And God help us men to keep our homes where there's godliness. These standards are maintained. Let's stand together. Have a verse.